One more time. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. God is faithful. He's faithful that promised. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Turn into our text in the Word of God this morning. Verse 1 to 4 of John chapter 4. The Bible says, when therefore, this is talking about Jesus, the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus had made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. He must needs go through Samaria. While I sat there again in that chair, the Lord spoke to me about healing again. And I would think that according to the Holy Spirit, there's people that need healing today that are gathered yet. That you may not have been in the first service, but we had a wonderful move of the Holy Spirit in the first service, and people were healed, as you've already heard, and received the gift of the Holy Spirit. But God is not through with us yet. You're here now. Some of you may be here for the second time in the second service, but you may still need healing today. And God wants to bring that to you. So why don't you raise your hand today together? And let's trust God and say, Jesus, we believe. Jesus, we believe that you're going to move among us again. That you've, just how you moved in our first service this morning. But you're going to show spectacular things, oh God, that will be done in this place. But with this, we bless you, God, and we thank you, Lord. For you, oh God, have promised it, and you will not fail. Neither would you fail to come short of the promises that you've made to us. No matter what we feel, no matter how we feel, oh God, no matter what we're thinking, but you're ready to heal and forgive this morning. That our people, that their needs may be met yet a day. We love you, Jesus, and we do worship you. And everybody said in Jesus' name, won't you, amen. Won't you clap your hands one more time, and you may be seated. Thank you so much. You may be seated. God bless you. And picking this up from verse number 5, then Jesus comes to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh the woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Then saith the woman of Samaria to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. But Jesus answered and said, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who is it that saith unto thee, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. And the woman said unto him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. And then from whence or where are you going to get this water? Or this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank there of himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus said unto her, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. That is the water at Jacob's well where Jesus was sitting as he waited for this woman to arrive. He says, but whosoever shall drink of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go, call your husband, and come hither. And the woman said and answered, I have no husband. And he said unto her, You have had well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that saidst thou truly. And the woman saith unto her, to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say, In Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour comes when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. For ye know not what we know, what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Yes, an occasion that we've read in the Gospel of St. John, and Jesus meeting with the Samaritan woman, a woman that was of ill repute, a woman that lived with men rather being married to them. And she came to this well one day, and Jesus, in the interim, while she was making her way to this well, Jesus said to his disciples, While I'm on my way to Galilee, I must needs go through Samaria. Jesus knew what he was to expect when he gets to the well. Why did he make a diversion? Why did he go the way? Why did he make a diversion and go the way that he wouldn't normally take through Samaria? Because the Samaritans and the Jews had no dealings with each other. They were prejudiced people. They were prejudiced against each other. But see, Jesus came to break all prejudice. This was obviously cultural and national prejudice that was between them that separated them. And they were treated, the Samaritans were treated as dogs. The Gentiles were treated as nothing. But Jesus came to break that. And in our community, in Australia, in Canberra, we are a multicultural community. But what God has done, He's brought each of you together in this church from multiple nations, with multiple different backgrounds, with diverse backgrounds and cultures. From all over this world, you've come, and we've gathered together here today in this room as one nation under God, as one people. Because that's what happens. Jesus came to break that prejudice. And how did he do that? Simply by offering us this waters of life. We couldn't do it without the gift of the Holy Spirit. We couldn't amalgamate with somebody that you really didn't like, somebody that you really didn't want to fellowship with. But Jesus came to break the bondage of that prejudice. And that's why that Samaritan woman said, But sir, you're a Jew, and we don't have dealings with the Jews. Why are you talking to me in the first place? But Jesus said, You know what, girl? If you knew who I was, You, I want to give you a drink and you want the drink, but if you knew who I was, you would be asking me to give you a drink. Amen. To break the barriers of that prejudice. And when we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, I do remember when I was born again, I was pretty much of an introvert. I was 19 when I was born again in 1975 on the 5th of July. And when I received the Holy Ghost, in those days, I never heard, maybe it was taught around these parts of the world where I come from, It was never taught that you would speak in tongues when you get the gift of the Holy Spirit. But all it was taught was, you need the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost. And so my brother invited me to church one Sunday after many months, even years of trying to get me to come to church. And I simply did not want to go. But finally I said to myself, I'm going to go just one time so that you don't bother me again. How many of you been there? How many of you know that? And I went to church. In, you know, the 60s and 70s, the African-American Afro, you remember that? No, nobody. I'm a baby boomer. Oh, you remember? Yeah, Brother Othon remembers that. Well, praise the Lord. And I came into church with my bell bottoms, with my Afro, and I walked into the house of God, ringing away with the bells, you understand? And the Afro was proud as ever. And I sat down. I sat down on the right side of the church towards my right hand from the third row from the front. And the preacher got up to preach the word of God. And believe you me, I didn't even understand, even heard a thing that he said. Not one word. Didn't retain it. Didn't know it. But just about when he finished his message, something pulled me. Something got a hold of me. And I stood up from where I was and I made my way down to the altar, to the prayer room in those days. Two young men came and they prayed for me. And before I knew it, before they just about touched my head and began to pray, I started speaking in tongues. God filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, I did not know that you had to speak in tongues, but it just happened. But now I know I received the gift of the Holy Ghost. But see, God doesn't just do that when he fills you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He gives you more than just the gift of the Holy Ghost. He changes your heart. He changes your life. This is the basis from where we launch, amen, the rest of our lives. Amen. We begin to walk a new road and a new life. We then become buried in the name of Jesus for the remission of our sins, and we continue on this road of life. And suddenly when I came out of that prayer room, Pastor Jonathan, when I came out of that prayer room, like I said, I was an introvert individual, never talked a whole lot to anybody. Just the limit of my conversation with people was, if they ask me a question, I focus only on that question. And I answer that. There's no further explanation. But when I came out of that room, you know how it is when church is finished, everybody stands, there's a group over here having a chat, there's a group over there. You know what I'm talking about. There's little groups all around. I don't want to call it cliques, but I want to say groups. And then they were busy talking. It's like nobody saw me. But I walked up to them. I don't know where I got this boldness from, but I walked up to them and I began to shake their hand. Praise the Lord. I'm going to say praise the Lord. Just got the Holy Ghost. Just came to know the God within. I'm not in a few minutes of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, and I'm beginning to shake people's hands. That's what the Holy Ghost does. It changes me. It changes your life. It changes your perspective on life. It changes your thought pattern. If you were once a believer and not liking somebody because it was a different color or a different nationality or of different culture, we better get rid of that stuff. When we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, God changes everything. What I see is that God has done exactly that. God has brought nations from across the globe into this church. Amen. And we have connected. You have connected with each other. You come here to worship God. You come here to praise God. And not just because you're from another country, and not because you're from that other country, but because you come together under God, under one name, under one banner. You come together in the new kingdom, in the kingdom of Almighty God. No more the kingdoms of this world. When I am born again, I come into the kingdom of God, my life begins to change, and moreover to change, my life becomes transformed day by day by day. And yes, I'm 45 years later, I'm still preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the same church, amen, of Jesus Christ, having been born again. I said all this to say this, that God is wanting to heal today. God is getting ready to heal. He was saying, I want you to continue with a healing message. You weren't here in the morning service. But God's about ready to change some of you. The focus is that God would give us water. It's priority, really, to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He'd give us water that to anybody that wants it. How many of you want the Holy Ghost? I just keep hearing, Ray Misifa. Just a handful. Has anybody experienced the gift of the Holy Spirit? Yeah. Okay, how many of you haven't experienced it? You have not. So everybody's got the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, awesome. We'll just move on then. Amen. We'll just move on with what God wants us to do. But I want to say to you this day, I know and I'm quite aware that when Jesus sat down at the well, he was waiting for this woman to come. The Bible said he was wearied and he sat down, but in his mind, in his heart, he was waiting for somebody to appear. Somebody that was going to come to him or coming to him with their need, which they themselves didn't know they had. And then he began to present to her the gospel of this water of life. And after a discussion, she believed and said, "Sir, give me this water." And I know Jesus was there to offer the waters of life, to give her waters to drink, like he is in this room today. He's here to give you that. He's here to offer it to you today. But not only is he here waiting for you to offer this to you today, but he's also offering your healing. Your healing, your emotional healing. Your physical healing, your spiritual healing, to your deliverance, all that he wants to do for you today is here. Jesus is here. And I will not and I cannot stress this enough, that he wants to heal you. And sometimes we don't respond very quickly to these things. But let me tell you, your faith is in when you respond to what God is calling you to do. And don't hesitate and don't wait. Let your faith begin to work for you. Let your faith draw you out of your chair and let your faith bring you to the altar. "Pastor, do I have to feel anything to come to the altar?" No, I don't have to feel nothing. I just got to hear the word of God and what the preacher is saying in the word of God, and let the Spirit of the Lord begin to draw you. You need to just get up and get out of your grave and come to the altar and find your healing. And you will find your healing. There were miracles in this place this morning. You can have a miracle. I don't understand people sometimes. If I took out $100 I don't have on me right now and I offered it to the first one that was in this building, many of us will be running up to take it, and it's yours when you get it. But Jesus is offering more than that. He's offering things that are priceless. Thing that you cannot buy with money, but will ship back. You know why? Because we can't see it. We can't touch it. It's not tangible to us. It doesn't seem feasible that we can receive such a thing. But God is here today, and he's offering that to us. God wants to touch our lives. God wants to touch our bodies. God wants to touch our emotionalism, the negative emotionalism that we have. God wants to touch every aspect of your life, of your body, of your emotions, spiritual and natural. God, and physical, God wants to touch it. If you hear today, I want to let you know that you can be healed. You can be healed in the name of Jesus. Last 2 weeks ago, in our local church, the Lord gave me a word of faith, and it was simply blind. The word was simply blind. And I spoke the word of faith, and I left it at that. About that, "Oh, Lord, yeah, nothing really going on. Nothing's happening." But in the course of the week, a young fella that hadn't been in church since he was a child, he's now grown up, gone past his teenage years, came back to church. He phoned his mother and said, "Mom, you know when Pastor spoke that word, he said something just opened up. I just began to see things like I've never seen them before. Just a flash before my eyes and something happened. In so much that he even wanted to ditch his girlfriend. He did as much as cool it. She's getting touched by the Holy Ghost too. You cool it. She's a good girl." Serious. At the same time, you know, God gave me a word. A hernia. I called it. I found out later that a lady in our church, when I spoke the word of faith, she stood up and she thought she wanted to pray for her mother, so she was standing in proxy. But when she heard the word, she stopped and began to realize that it was her. And reported that prior to that, she was having this pain, the pain of this hernia right on the side somewhere here. And immediately the pain disappeared and it was gone. You know why? Because God is in the healing business. People, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Jesus is coming back again. And I know that we can go to heaven without being healed, but that's not the point. The point is here, the healer is here, and he wants to heal you. Why would you still want to walk around in your sickness? Why do you still want to walk around in your disease and not want to be healed? Simply because you know these facts in the Word of God. If I were you, I'd get up out of my grave, and I would run to the altar and say, "God, I want that touch of the Holy Ghost." I don't know who likes staying in pain. Anybody like staying in pain? But God is offering you a healing today. He's offering the gift of the Holy Spirit today. There are multiple things. The Bible said when Jesus died on the cross, when he died on the cross, he shed his blood on the cross. He spilt his blood when he was whipped at the whipping post. The Bible said he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And when the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, he said, we are healed. And he's presenting that same healing. Let me tell you something today, that your issues, your healing, your deliverance, your physical healing, your emotional healing, your mental healing, was that those issues were settled at the cross. It was for us just to get a hold of it and say, "God, I want it, and I'm going to get it." Did not the Bible say, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you? Sometimes what we really need to do is lay down our burdens. Lay down that burden of your sickness. Lay down that burden of your disease. Lay down that burden of your depression. Lay down of that burden of the mental issues that you're having and depressions that you're having. Amen. These are not of God. God wants to take that away from you. In fact, he has taken it away from you, but you want to hold on to it. Release it and let it go. And you will find healing. Healing will come. There's no doubt about it. Healing will come. I have faith enough to know that there shall be great miracles in the house of God here today. If somebody would reach out, if somebody would touch the throne of God now and say, "Lord, I believe for my dementia. Lord, I believe for my paraplegia. I believe that you can do exceedingly abundantly. I believe that God will touch postnatal depression. He will touch it and you will be healed." But is it, could it be that we just like to sit in it? We feel we need it, but we don't do nothing about it. I mean, friend, this is an infirmary. When soldiers are wounded in the war, they take them to infirmary. Why do they do that? So they can find healing, recovery, and healing from their wounds. People, you may have been hurt. You may have suffered pain in your life. You may be still hurting right now. And that pain always seems to rise up. And it always seems to come up from time to time. But let me tell you today, you're in the right place. You're in the infirmary for the wounded. Amen. You're in the infirmary for the depressed. You're in the infirmary, amen, for oppression and depression and mental issues. choose. You're in the right place. If you will know that Jesus is the Jesus is the major doctor, right, walking among us, and he will touch you in a moment and you will be right. He will touch you in a moment and you will come to recovery. Amen. If you will only believe. If you will only believe, lady, that your issues were settled at the cross. Jesus took it all for you. I don't know how old you are, but let me tell you, 2,000 or more years ago, Jesus shed his blood for you. Amen. And for your pain. Yes. It needs to go. It needs to go, people. It needs to go. Everybody, whether you're a child of God, whether you're not a child of God, and you are visiting in this place, we all suffer pain. We all suffer hurt. But God heals us from hurt. He heals us from pain. Amen. It takes a moment of forgiveness and pushing that aside and saying, God, forgive me for the hurt I feel, even for the hurt I've caused somebody else. Oh, God, help us. There's healing in this house. I'm not here today just to preach the word of God because I'm a preacher. I made a vow to the Lord that I just don't want to preach the gospel. I love to, but I want to minister to people. I want to minister this gospel, not preach to them, but minister to them. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you this morning? Is there anybody in this room? Is there anybody in this room, amen, that has an illness, that has a sickness, that has a disease, whether it be physical, mental, spiritual, emotional? Is there anybody here that's got something that's troubling them and you want it gone? Stand up, my brother, stand up. Two people, three people, four people, five, six, seven. Is there anybody else? Eight, come on. Nine, 10, 11. Look at them standing all over the congregation. God wants to bring restoration and recovery to you. You're in the right place. You're in the place where Jesus will touch you, when Jesus will heal you. Is there anybody else? I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. If you've stood right here today, I'm asking you, I want you to come to, everybody come to this altar. Come on. Come on, everybody, come to this altar. Come on, first to those. Come on. I want you to stand. I don't want you to kneel down. I want you to stand up. It's okay. It's going to be, I want you to stand. It's going to be easier to stand. Come on. Come, let's move a little forward and make some room for those that are still coming to this altar. I ask you to raise your hands together this morning. Every one of us that are here. I can only imagine what you are experiencing, but Jesus knows it all. He knows everything about us. What I want you to do right now, I want you to just pray for a moment. And whatever it is, whether it's emotional, whether it's physical, whether it's spiritual, I want you to call it. I want you to open up your mouth and begin to tell Jesus what it is. Tell him, if you're suffering depression, just say, Jesus, I want healing from depression. If you're suffering from hurt and it doesn't seem to release you, say, Jesus, I'm suffering from it. Whatever it is, I want you to open up your mouth and I want you to speak it right now. It's up.